I really do desire your prayers. I know it's kind of a cliche when people who really never speak at church get up and say, I'm not a public speaker, but I'm definitely not a public speaker. So, but don't worry, I'm not preaching on the revelation tonight. The topic I've chosen is ways and reasons God speaks to us and why we should listen to his voice. God speaks to us in many different ways, and before I get into the reasons as to why God speaks to us, I believe it's necessary to understand the ways in which God speaks to us. I'll go through some of the ways he speaks quickly, because it's been talked about a lot, but I just want to have a reminder for everyone. The first way God speaks to us is through the Bible. It's our instruction book, how to live a holy Christian life, and is given to us by God, and is one way that he speaks to us and gives us understanding and direction in life. Another way is when the Lord speaks to us with his still small voice. Hearing the voice of God is such an amazing thing, and when he speaks to us this way, we should count it a privilege and be sure to listen closely to what he has to say. Third is through our pastors, youth leaders, and through other followers in Christ. God has given us pastors and youth leaders and the messages to preach to us. He gives other followers words to inspire and encourage us if we're going through a hard time. Another way God speaks to us is through songs, lyrics of songs. We're blessed to have God visit us so often through songs and to feel his presence as much as we do here when individuals sing songs that are divinely inspired by God. Another way God speaks to us is through circumstances. When someone is going through a hard, trying time, it is often God trying to speak to that individual through their trying circumstance. Another way God speaks is through his Spirit. We're blessed to have so many altar services as we do here, and during those times, the Spirit of God speaks to souls, and we can feel that, and we are able to discern God's Spirit. There are certainly other ways that God speaks to us, such as impressing us to do a certain thing, but the last one I'd like to mention is through prayer. Prayer is our only source of direct communication with the Lord, and we must not take it for granted. Prayer isn't just always asking things of God. I remember a message, I believe it was Brother Reggie who spoke it. He said, sometimes we need to just stop asking things of God during our prayers and be quiet and listen for his voice. I thought this was a great way of putting it because when we pray to God, it should be a conversation. Conversations usually aren't beneficial when only one person is doing the talking. So we need to let God talk to us as well. These are just some ways that God speaks to us. I just wanted to give it as a reminder. But we're going to move on to the reasons God speaks to us. And the first reason I have is he speaks to warn and correct. And I'd like to start scripture text in 1 Samuel 3, 4 through 10. And while you're returning there, I'd like to just thank the Lord for salvation, guidance, and helping me through my first year of college and giving me a good job opportunity this summer. I'm just thankful for everything he does for me. Verse 4, that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." In this passage, we see that God is speaking to Samuel to tell him what his plan is. If you read further on, it's his plan for Israel and how he's going to fulfill that which he told Eli he would perform, for his lack of restraint on his son's actions in the tabernacle. Eli knew that his sons were sinning against the Lord, yet he did not feel the need to correct them. As seen in the scripture text, God has no age limit on when he will speak to an individual. However, it is very important that when he speaks, we listen to what he has to say. In this instance, God is speaking to warn Samuel of the coming punishment on Eli and his house. So the first case I would like to talk about is God speaking through warnings and corrections. God speaks to us in many ways, and one way is through warnings and corrections. We have been blessed with an incredible pastor who has stood for the truth, and that is something we shouldn't take for granted. I'm only 19 years old, but it feels like right now he's been speaking of more warnings and dangers that we should not take lightly, and dangers such as division, apostasy, and a number of other things that are very serious. And every time he gets up to speak on these things, his words are divinely inspired. And that is one way in which God speaks to us. He speaks to us through our pastors, like said earlier, youth leaders, family, and through other avenues. So we shouldn't take these warnings lightly, because although our pastor may be speaking the words, they are ultimately coming from God. When God speaks to warn us, it is very important to listen, because he may be keeping us from an unknown danger in our future, not only as individuals, but as a church as a whole. The next reason God speaks to us, I have, is he speaks to bless us. I'd like to turn to Genesis 31 and 11. Bear with me, I have a lot of scripture texts tonight. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And if we turn to chapter 33, verses 1 through 4. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men, and he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell upon his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And if we turn to chapter 46, verse 1 through 7. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifice unto the Lord of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hands upon thine eyes. So in this text, it speaks of God talking to Jacob, and because of Jacob's obedience, he was gifted many blessings. After he left the house of Laban's house, God blessed him with the nation that he was named after, and he also was able to reconcile with Esau, who once sought out to kill him. Then in chapter 46, God once again asked Jacob, whose name is Israel now, to move to Egypt, where he gained even more blessings, and God was able to save the nation through Jacob's son Joseph because of his willingness to heed God's voice. This is another way in which God speaks to us. He speaks to bless us. Hearing God's voice alone is such a blessing, but when we are obedient to what he tells us to do, he will bless us even more. I think oftentimes the biggest blessings come from the requests from the Lord that seem the hardest. He may ask us to do something, and we may not at the moment understand why, but after some time, his blessings become so apparent that we are able to fully understand why God decided to speak and ask of us. Jacob, no doubt, probably questioned why God was asking so much of him, and I'm sure he was certainly nervous when God asked him to return to his homeland and meet his brother who once wanted to kill him. But because he heeded the voice of God that spoke to him, a number of blessings came to him and his family and for the generations to come. This is a perfect example as to why we should listen to God's voice. And some may say that God doesn't bless today like he did back in the days of Jacob or in the Old Testament. But if we just really take some time to really count the blessings we have this incredible church building. We have so many other things here. We have great people here. God has truly blessed this church and it is given to us by God because of the church's willingness to listen to the voice of God and carry out that which he asks of us. Another reason God speaks to us is to deliver us. If you would turn to Exodus 3, 4 through 14. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to the sea, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I came down to deliver them out of the land of Egypt. We'll just skip that verse. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth that my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So in this passage, God appears unto Moses at Mount Horeb, and he speaks to him, saying that he has heard the cries of the children of Israel, and he has recognized the oppression that the Egyptians have placed upon them. He then asked Moses to go to Pharaoh, that Moses be able to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses was quite reluctant, saying he was not qualified to go unto Pharaoh, but God reassures him that he will be with him, and he most certainly was, if you were to read through the rest of this book. Here is our third example as to how God speaks to us in order to deliver. God may speak to you to ask something of you in order to prove your faith to him so that he may deliver you out of an affliction or a trial. When an affliction or a trial may be hard to find the effort to do what God is asking of you, but rest assured that there is a reason he is asking something of you, and although he may not instantly bring you out of what you're going through, similar to the children of Israel who had to endure the plagues before gaining their freedom, but also like the children of Israel, he will certainly carry out his promise to take care of you if you're just obedient to listening and heeding to what he has to say. This type of God speaking can also be applied to the sinner. When God speaks to the sinner, he is doing so in order to deliver them out of the bondage, similar to the children of Israel. God speaking to deliver is one of the most powerful ways in which God can speak to us. And once it again is a privilege to have, it is a privilege of God speaking to us, we need to make sure that we carry out that which he asks. The next reason God speaks to us is to call us. Isaiah 6, 8 through 11. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Then said I, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." Here, the prophet Isaiah hears the voice of God, and he answers, saying that he is willing to be used of God. Later in this book of the Bible, we can see that Isaiah went on to become a great prophet, telling of many prophecies that came true when Jesus came to the earth to save the souls of every sinner. This is yet another way in which God speaks to us. He calls us according to his purpose that he has for us. God has called many great men and women to his work by speaking to them. We have such a great pastor because he was called by God and he listened to that call. We have evangelists of the church and singers and workers all for the same reason, because they were called by God and they listened and obeyed that call. It is important that when God speaks to us, to whatever work he wants us to do in the church, that we listen and obey his call. You may think, "Oh, my work isn't that important." But each of us is a member of the body of Christ, and it is important that we humble ourselves and put our full effort towards whatever God calls us to do. The next reason he speaks to us is to give us a burden. In Acts to the New Testament, Acts 9, 10 through 19. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man called Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority for the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for thy name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received me, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. So here we see God call Ananias to go speak to Saul to help win his soul and make him part of the body of Christ. Ananias was a little skeptical when God asked him to do this, as he had heard the evil things that Saul had been doing to the Jews because of their faith in Jesus. But after Jesus told Ananias Saul was a chosen vessel, he agreed to go into his house and speak to him. And because he did, Saul was converted, and he performed many great works for the body of Christ because of Ananias' willingness to be called and used of God. God may speak to us and give us a burden for someone to pray for or invite to church, and it is important that we listen when God gives us a burden for a soul, because there is certainly a reason he is. Sometimes God will give us a burden to invite out an individual, and we may think, that individual will never get saved. They will never be interested in the things of God. However, this is probably exactly how Ananias felt about Saul. He told God all of the evil things he had heard about Saul, and he was questioning why God was even calling him to speak unto him. But because of his obedience, he won over a man who would eventually become the author of 13 epistles in the New Testament, and who won many souls to Christ. This may be the same case for us. We may think that the soul God is giving us a burden for would never be interested in working for Christ, but they could become a great worker for the church if we are willing to work with them like Ananias is willing to work with Saul. It reminds me of the story that Brother Duvall actually talked about Sunday when he told of the young boy from Botswana who his mother neglected, but because of the love of one of the missionaries, he became one of the most key individuals of the Church of God in Botswana. We must be willing to work with the name God burdens us with, even if we don't think they will ever be one to Christ, because many that sit in this audience today, I'm sure, were individuals of the church that the church listened to God's burden that he gave to them, and they're here because of that. I think of the example of Brother Jeremy. It's such a great story. Who said he would go to the altar and get saved if Brother Stegmeier would come back and talk to him. But by the time he lifted up his head, Brother Stegmeier was already making his way back to Brother Jeremy's seat. If we just have the same willingness to listen to God, the voice of God when he speaks, then I feel so many more souls would be invited. And it is important, especially now, to be listening to the burdens of the souls God lays upon our hearts, because camp meeting is right around the corner, and that's a great time to get the mind of God on who to invite and pray for. The last reason he speaks to us is to try us. If you turn to Genesis 22, 1 through 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee out of the land of Moriah, and offer him here for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. And then verses 9 through 17. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou thy thing unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So here God asked of Abraham to offer up his only son as a burnt offering unto him in order to try Abraham's faith. No doubt this seemed like an impossible decision for Abraham to make, as he wanted to do what God asked him. But at the same time, he was going to give up his only son in order to be obedient. Later in the chapter, we see that God spares Isaac because of Abraham's obedience for what God was calling him to do, and blesses him greatly because of it. Similar to today, God may speak to us and ask us to do something that all we can do is question God, and why is he asking so much of us and seemingly giving us impossible decisions to make. God does this in order to try our faith. He wants to see if we're willing to give up often what we love most in order to do his will. And although it may seem like God is being unfair to us, we must trust that he has a plan for whatever he is calling us to be put through. I was thinking more on this today, and I came to the thought that God may speak to us and put us in situations where we feel so alone. But it's in those moments, I think, he wants you to realize that he's the only one we need. We may never see the blessings that come from God's call to try us, but we must trust that there is a reason he asks us such hard things of us, whether it is to protect us or to help prove our faith and obedience in him. Other times, we will see the benefits of God trying us, and it may be greater than we could ever imagine. It seems that the church has been going through trying times as of late, with many of our members suffering from trials and afflictions. But this may be just God's trying to increase our faith as a congregation, and we have to hold on to his promise that all things work together for his good. Amen. It is also crucial that when God asks something of us, we do it with the right attitude. This could apply to all the reasons God speaks to us, but I feel it is most relevant in this case. If we are obedient to what God calls us to do, but we do it with an ungrateful attitude, we will not receive the full blessing God intended for us when he spoke to us to be put through the trial. It is so important that for no matter what reason God speaks to us, we do it with a humble spirit, for it is the only way we will see the full reward for what he has called us to do. When God speaks to us to try us, it is important that we are patient. We may not see right away why God spoke to us and asked of us such a hard task, but I feel more often that blessing isn't seen. But I feel more often that the blessing isn't seen until long down the road. And it may be easy to get upset with God, seemingly asking of us to do something that doesn't benefit us, but we must be patient and trust that he is working it for our good. So those were some reasons as to why God speaks to us. But you may say, what is all this for? And why? How should we respond to God when he speaks to us? And when I first felt the Lord leading me to these thoughts, one of the things I felt most important about this message would be how we as disciples of Christ respond to God when he speaks to us. It was kind of hard getting the mind of God on what is the best way to respond to him when he asks something of us. But after some reading and praying, I realized he had said it right in front of me. I would like to go back and read one scripture from each passage that I used for each reason God speaks to us. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read them. 1 Samuel 3 and 4, that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. Genesis 31 and 11, and the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. Exodus 3 and 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. Isaiah 6 and 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Acts 9 and 10, and there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Genesis 22 and 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I, here I am. Can you see the pattern? I realized after going back and reading these passages that God had already set forth the perfect response for when he speaks to us. That response being, here am I. Each of these scriptures either has that exact wording or something that closely resembles it. I think that it's the perfect response to God when he asks something of us. When each of these men of God spoke the words, here am I, they had not yet heard what God was going to ask of them, whether it be an easy task or one of seemingly impossible nature. Yet by saying these words, they showed a willingness to listen and go forth with whatever God was going to ask them next. I think this is the exact attitude that we as Christians need to have when God speaks to us. We need to be willing to say, here am I, no matter what God's task may be for us, because there is one thing we can know for sure, no matter how trying or simple the task he asks of us to complete, we can rest on his promise that it will be for our own good, even if we can't always see it. We've been reading a book in Sunday school recently. It's called In His Steps, and I did a summary for a chapter, and I thought there was a really good point. Sometimes people give to God what's easiest for them, but they're never really willing to do the hard thing for God and say, here am I, use me, Lord. So tonight, God may be giving you warnings of coming danger like he did Samuel, or he may be speaking to you in order to bless you as he did Jacob. Perhaps he's speaking to deliver you out of some type of bondage, trial, or affliction, like he did Moses and the children of Israel. He may be speaking to you to call you into the work of God, no matter what kind of position. He may be speaking to give you a burden for a lost soul that he wants you, to win into his kingdom. Or maybe he's speaking to you to ask of you to do something that is hard and trying and you don't understand why. No matter the reason God speaks to us, we have to be willing to say, here am I, Lord. I want to be used of thee. I want to build up your kingdom. I want to win lost souls for thee. God speaks to us in many ways. It is just our job to be obedient for what he is calling us to do. In closing, when I was praying about this message, the song that Sister Goins' group sings kept coming back to me, and I'd like to read the words to it. When I need him, I know where to find him. In my place of prayer, his spirit hovers me. He hovers near. Oh, his voice gently gives me my direction, and I'll follow that voice that I hear. His voice makes the difference. When he speaks, he relieves my troubled mind. It's the only voice I hear that makes the difference, and I'll follow one day at a time. Oh, his voice is a strong and mighty tower, tearing down every stronghold in my life. He's the master of the wind and the sea that rages. When he speaks, all my darkness turns to light. Last verse. I have heard other voices speaking to me to deceive and to lead me astray. Oh, but my shepherd's voice is different than all others. I'm his sheep and I know my shepherd's way. You may say, well, how do I know that the Lord speaking to me and not some other voice that is speaking to try to deceive me? I'd like you to turn to John 10 and read verses 26 through 28. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, and I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. As the song says, there are other voices, but those voices are only out there to deceive and lead you astray. Whereas the verse in the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There may be other voices out there, but there's only one that speaks to call you to do the right thing and become more like God. And we need to pray for discernment to be able to recognize that voice as the sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. Whatever God calls us to do, I challenge you to say, here am I, Lord. I want to be used of thee, and I know that he will bless you if you are obedient to his voice.